You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We've got David Farrier on the line. Morena, David, how are you?
Good morning, Rachel. I'm really good.
Hey, it's lovely to hear from you in this weird world that we live in at the moment.
It is a little bit strange. I feel like I'm just getting used to it, and now it's all going to sort of change again.
Yeah, that's very much. We're just all rolling with the punches at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly.
There are some wonderful silver linings coming out of this time, though, and that's people getting kind of creative with how we communicate with each other and also just what we're sort of, I guess, reading and watching at the moment. And I'm very stoked to see that you are putting together a newsletter called Webworm. What is this all about, David?
Yeah, it sounds so, when you say newsletter, it sounds so sort of old school, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I kind of love that.
It's something I'm really excited about because I suppose I spend so much time on Twitter and Instagram kind of posting oddities that I find out about. But I kind of thought I just wanted to get them all into one place in kind of a medium that I control a bit more. So, You know, like for all we know, Twitter's going to disappear tomorrow. Instagram's going to disappear, and then sort of the people that you communicate there will just vanish. And I thought with a newsletter, I can just reach out to a specific community and just expand on things. Like instead of doing a giant Twitter thread, I can just make a really carefully curated story that I can then send out to people who want to engage. And it's purely up to them whether they want to sign up or not. But if they do, it's like your own little publication. And Substack, which I'm doing it on, was made by a New Zealander.
Awesome.
And so I thought, what a good platform to dive on.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's kind of like, it also reminds me a little bit of like zine culture a wee bit too. You've got like this very specific thing that you're giving to people who really want to read it. And it kind of has that sort of clubhouse feel of
it
too.
Yeah, exactly. And like I was following one, it's an American guy. It's just called Welcome to Hell World. And it's this amazing collection of like essays and like really like quite dark, but this sort of his view of America, and I've been loving that for a while. So I just sort of, I guess with Webworm, I just kind of thought all these little weird sort of rabbit holes I sort of stumble down that sometimes don't have a home, then they can just go here, I suppose.
Yeah.
As well as like, you know, there's like a stack of stuff I've got from behind the scenes on like something like Tickled, like there were storylines I never explore on there. I've got all this footage, and I figure like this is also a way to get some of that out into the world a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
And you're in control of it. And I think a lot of journalists are thinking about sort of moving to this model where, you know, you're supported by your readers. Some of them are free and some of them aren't. Mine's free at the moment. And it's like, it's just a way to have this direct relationship with readers. And if they like you, then they'll be on board. And if they're not, they just go somewhere else. It's like a really personal thing.
Yeah, totally. I'm kind of intrigued by the first one that you've put up here. It's called COVID-19, A Love Story. Can you tell us a little bit about what this is and kind of how it came about, David? Because it's quite bonkers.
Yeah, well, it's one of these things that sort of I've been sort of, it's just been going on in my life. I got this text message from this this number in Pakistan back in January, and it just said, "Oh, David, I met you at this party, but I didn't get your number, so this is my personal number, so here it is." And I said, "Oh, okay, so I'll text it." So I texted it, and it's allegedly this woman, Sophia, and it's definitely a con of some kind. And so I just thought, I'll just start communicating with this person. But I suppose it's kind of turned into this quite sort of peaceful, lovely time transacting with this person, because the weird thing with this con is it hasn't really gone into con territory yet.
Yeah.
Or it didn't in the early, it's just these really nice exchanges. And of course, it will just be someone with about 30 different numbers furiously texting them all day long. So I just thought I'd start to write about this exchange and how it made me feel. And of course, since I posted that up on the newsletter, I've heard from all these other people that have also heard she's been cheating on me. Sophia's been reaching out to all these other people as
Sophia.
Well, which I'm really annoyed about. So I've just confronted Sophia about this. And so that will probably be part two of my love story, which is kind of like the whole thing coming undone.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to reading that. I also saw you tweet recently that you'd like to personally thank Tiger King for getting all of your documentaries up on the lists of, if you liked Tiger King, you might like this. Have you been finding some of your docos popping up on a few online platforms?
Yeah, it's funny. All these, like, people love a good listicle, and there's so many Tiger King listicles. Like, everyone has done one where it's like, if you like this wacky thing, you'll like this wacky thing. And something like Tickled, which is now like a bit of a tired old dog, it's like, I made it a long time ago. And like, even Dark Tourist is popping up on some of those lists. You know, you like this wacky tiger guy, what about this guy that tickles people? It was on the New York Times put it in their newsletter the other day, which was pretty neat. But it's funny, like, when these things find their lives, you know, like something can sort of have a second go. And I think Tiger King, for all its faults and all its stupidity, for me has actually been quite good.
It's been great.
I mean, what did you think of that? Did you watch it like everyone else did?
I found it fascinating. We're actually still, me and my flatmate are watching, we're actually still a couple of episodes out from the end, but I find it really, I find it really difficult watching. I also find it like all the classic things of being like, what the heck is this? I can't believe we're watching this. But then also tiny little bit frustrated that it's not a slightly better documentary as well. I find that that's something I'm kind of like, I wish this was a little bit like grittier.
Or
like,
yeah, I agree. It tricks you into being this quite thrilling thing, because it is a thrilling ride.
Totally.
Lots of twists and turns. But then the more you, because I sort of wrapped it about a week ago, the more you think about it, the more you go, oh God, that was just like a glorified reality show.
Yeah.
And not much else. And you kind of feel dirty for watching it.
Yeah. I sort of started to feel like that a little bit. I'm still going to finish it. Don't get me wrong, David. I definitely will be finishing it. But yeah,
like
I think
the rest of the planet.
I think it's like, it's an interesting one, eh? But it is certainly, wow, characters. All these people, you couldn't really write them in a story. People wouldn't believe you.
Oh, and that actually, that just reminded me. Another thing, and another reason I thought I'd make this newsletter, sounds like such self-promotion, eh?
No, we love it. That's great.
but when I, there was that other documentary on Netflix about that guy who, he was a Canadian, very narcissistic personality who started sort of killing animals. It was Don't F With Cats. Was the name of the doc, and it's this sort of, it was kind of like this big thing before Tiger King. It was this 4-episode thing about this guy that was like an elaborate kind of murder story in an online world. But that guy, a couple of years ago, started writing to me from prison.
Wow.
Because the lawyer in Don't F With Cats was the same lawyer that we had in Tickled. He was an element of that film, and he'd obviously watched Tickled in prison. And gone, I can get this guy's attention if I write to this guy in New Zealand and say that I know the secret thing about Tickled that you don't know. And so he started writing these elaborate things. And so I have these letters sitting here with no outlet. I mean, it's like, it's letters from this narcissistic killer in prison. But I feel like on a newsletter, you could contextualize like what those letters are and what they mean. And it could be something quite interesting. So I guess those kind of weird things that I have like sitting around the house,
yeah,
I feel could be
an outlet.
It could find a good home.
I'm very excited to see where Webworm takes us all on a strange journey into the internet.
Yeah, I like to think of it as being like a little worm, like worming its way online and through the world, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm very much looking forward to seeing where it goes. If people do want to subscribe or they want to go and read it, how can they do that, David?
It's just webworm.substack.com. Easy.
Fantastic. Easy peasy. That is really great. Hey, it's lovely to chat to you, David, and I'm excited to see where this goes.
No, same. So thanks for doing your show. Has been great during this.
Cheers.
I've been able to regularly tune in, which has been lovely.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice to hear. Well, we're going to play a Caitlin Aurelia Smith track now, and we'll talk to you again very soon, I'm sure, David.
Cool. See ya.
See ya.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.